Ken Thorpe, thanks for being here with us today.
My pleasure.
The Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease is calling for what it calls common sense reforms to address the challenge of chronic disease. Why is chronic disease the centerpiece for your organization?
Well, we think one of the major issues on healthcare reform is that healthcare costs too much. And so we're trying to find efforts to reduce the cost of healthcare. As it turns out, people with chronic healthcare conditions account for 75% of total healthcare spending. And the growth of chronic disease accounts for about two-thirds of the rise in healthcare spending. So we're really not going to make healthcare more affordable until we do something to prevent and better manage chronic illness in the United States.
Then what are your proposals?
Well, we're going to focus on two issues. One is that we have to put into place more effective lifestyle change programs, starting with the schools, dealing with the childhood obesity, which is a major and growing issue, in the communities, community-based initiatives to try to deal with wellness and diet and exercise and nutrition and smoking cessation.
Do you mean in the workplace?
And in the workplace as well. So our community-based interventions could be things run out of community health centers, out of churches, out of boys and girls clubs. We're really looking at broad-based venues where people live to try to get people engaged in healthier activities, good nutrition, good diets. And the workplace is a natural place to really get at workplace health promotion programs.
And I know that you believe this will save large amounts of money. Does it save large amounts of money, certainly in the prevention of chronic disease, but under your plan, is there money saved in the treatment of chronic disease?
There's the potential for both. I think the challenge is to find well-designed programs that have been proven to effectively prevent disease, and secondarily, to do a better job of managing people that have chronic illness. So a lot of what we've been doing is trying to identify those effective best practice programs, understand what it is about them that makes them effective, and see if we can't replicate those programs more broadly in the United States healthcare economy. So the challenge is to really find the good ones and weed them out from the ones that are mediocre and the other ones that don't work.
At this moment in time, what is the best one that you have found, and at what scale is it?
Well, there's several. On the prevention side, we've seen effective programs in the workplace that engage workers in taking a health risk appraisal to understand what their health care risks are, lay out a very clear care plan for how they can either reduce their risks or maintain a normal weight. And the way they work is by incenting good behavior, both in terms of providing information, providing perhaps financial rewards for people to meet certain benchmarks, and even in some cases at the workplace, provide the resources, nurses, nurse practitioners, to work with people on an ongoing basis at work, rather than waiting for the worker and perhaps their family to find a physician sometime after work hours or on the weekend. So there are some great examples of programs, whether it's Johnson & Johnson, IBM, Pitney Bowles, several good examples of these programs at work.
How do you scale it up?
Well, I think what you have to do is two things. The key thing is to find out in the design of the programs what it is about them in terms of how they're put together that makes them work. And then we need to find ways to incent other employers to use those types of approaches. There's a variety of ways you could do it. For small businesses, you can encourage it through tax credits to make it less expensive. But most of it is really to point out to employers, these programs work, and here's why, and here's the proven results.
Everything you've just described seems to be more aimed more at the local level, at private enterprise, et cetera. How does this fit into the larger discussion of national health reform?
Well, another major part of this is to make sure that in the management of chronic disease, that we're effectively keeping people out of the hospital, out of emergency rooms, and out of clinics. That is, we're proactively working with patients at home to prevent bad outcomes from occurring. And that means that in the way we pay for health care, particularly in the Medicare program, we need to make changes in how we reimburse for health care services in Medicare. We need to build a care model that allows people to work with nurses, nurse practitioners at home. And we need to have a financial way for physicians and nurses to get paid for working with patients in non-traditional ways. So we need to reformulate the basic concept of insurance for people with chronic illness, We need to make sure that we're not discouraging people from refilling their drugs, from getting to persistently taking them, to make sure that they're getting the annual eye exams and extremity exams, and not discouraging people from doing those things by having high copays and deductibles. So there's a lot of things on the benefit side that we need to change, and we need to fundamentally change how we pay for health care, particularly in the Medicare program.
Well, you say in a letter that you and Mark McClellan wrote, it doesn't matter what financing system we have in place, et cetera, et cetera. Why doesn't it matter? Are you saying that single payer or public-private combination, that either system gets us to where you want to be?
We really sort of break this into two different segments. There's the basic health delivery and health reform mm-hmm. piece, which focuses on lifestyle change, a subset of prevention that has been shown, if it's well designed, to work and save money. And then there's the management and delivery system side. You know, how do you deliver effective services to patients at the right time in the right setting? You know, that's basically an infrastructure issue of having the technology base, having the right payment systems in place, and having the right delivery model in place. And I think our point there was is that that type of model can work in a Medicare single-payer program. It can work in a program of multiple payers. It's really not about the insurance. It really is about the infrastructure, the delivery payment model, and the technology.
Okay. Well, we're going to have a new president in office in January, whether it be McCain or Obama. If there were one thing you could address to the new administration to say, this is what needs to be done in the first year of your administration in terms of health care change or reform, whatever name you want to give it, what would it be?
Well, the first thing we have to start out is to find a bipartisan vehicle to move a health reform legislation forward. We've been at this debate for 80 years, and we haven't found common ground to do major health care reform yet.
And you know the pitfalls because you were there in the Clinton administration back in the early 90s, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, there's a lot of lessons learned from that experience. I think the first place I would start is building a bipartisan coalition to really make healthcare more affordable around the issues of lifestyle change and on system redesign and building the technology platform so the physicians are interconnected so we can build the efficiencies in the system. That's not a Republican or a Democratic agenda. That's really a common sense clinical management agenda. At the same time, I would move forward with the debate about expanding coverage. But unless we have some common ground to really build a bipartisan coalition, I'm afraid that we'll go the same route this year that we've gone for the past 80. So my message would be to think about affordability and health reform. At the same time, you're also thinking about healthcare financing reform.
This is a question I've asked others whom I've interviewed, and that is, do you think that the route to get something done is big and bold or small steps, small incremental steps?
I think it's big and bold on the infrastructure piece. We really have to rebuild our delivery model. It doesn't make sense for today's patients that have multiple chronic health care conditions. Our delivery and payment systems were built for patients 30 and 40 years ago that were acutely ill, episodically treated. Well, that payment and delivery system doesn't work today for patients that have multiple chronic health care conditions. So I think we need to be big and bold on the infrastructure pieces, accelerating the diffusion of information technology much more dramatically than we've been doing, changing the payment model to make sure that we can really proactively work with patients in non-traditional settings, and build the integrated delivery teams that really are geared towards effectively treating patients in a team basis. That's a big and bold step we need to take. The other part of it on the financing side is a political call about how you incrementally move towards universal coverage. And that's where the politics of this will come in, and people are going to have different opinions about how to approach that.
Republican Mike Huckabee was probably the candidate who spoke about health care in the way that you're speaking about it today, prevention. Since he left the field, have you been at all disappointed about the nature of the conversations about health care reform?
Well, I have been. I think what's happened is that, it's like in any political contest, you get into sort of the policy issue in the event of the day. So obviously, as oil prices and the cost of gas has assumed center stage in the debate, that's overtaken some of these long-term issues around health care. that have always been there, but we don't seem to just get around to in discussing in the political context. My expectation is that in the fall, as Senator Obama and McCain move forward in comparing and contrasting their approaches on domestic policy issues, their differences on the economy, their differences on health care will also come to the forefront.
And what is your expectation, not your hope, but your expectation, again, having been through this once close up, that there will be changes next year, that whomever is president will be successful?
Well, I'm eternally optimistic for a couple of reasons. One is that I see an incredible coalescence of organizations that traditionally don't work together. Mm-hmm. So the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease, which I head, we have 110 organizations in it, ranging from the Chamber of Commerce to the Service Employees International Union, the pharma industry, American Hospital Association. So we've got a broad coalition of groups that are big players in the healthcare reform debate, but not necessarily on the same side. So that's one issue, is that I think people have a hunger to do something big and bold. And second, I think if you find a bipartisan message and a bipartisan approach that really deals with the affordability issue and the quality issue and have a bipartisan approach to doing it, I think you can move something very major next year.
Okay, we'll check back with you same time next year.
Absolutely.
Thank you
very
much.
I look forward to it. My
Ken
pleasure.
Thorpe. Appreciate it.